Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I've shared with you before that I love the everyday, ordinary moments of life. I think that they can be so meaningful and formational. And yeah, sometimes they can be so monotonous that we don't always pay attention or even take them for granted. Someone asked me not long ago, "What do you love so much about the ordinariness?" And although I was satisfied with my answer, for the past couple of weeks, just for fun, I started to make a list of specific ordinary things that I love. That first sip of coffee in the morning, that sip tastes better than the whole rest of the cup. How good my bed feels when I first climb into it at night, like it's been there waiting for me the whole day long. How beautiful and smooth a jar of peanut butter is when you first open it. Have you ever noticed how simple but beautiful that is? What about the smell of an older book and the way that the pages sound? The last couple of weeks, the coolness of a breeze on a hot summer afternoon. And later today, the comfiness and softness of my most worn out lounging clothes as I take hopefully a restful Sunday afternoon nap. Speaking of ordinary, we are officially in the season of ordinary time. Ordinary time carries us all the way from Pentecost to Advent. If you were to zoom out on the church calendar and look at it like a pie chart, nearly half of the pie would be green. It would be ordinary time for nearly 6 months. So green is the symbol, the color for this season, symbolizing our growth in faith and in discipleship as we follow the ministry and teachings of Jesus. So maybe think about it like this. Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Eastertide, and Pentecost, they all tell the story of Jesus' life. In ordinary time, we join Jesus' disciples at his feet to learn from his teachings and witness his earthly ministry among them. And we also, in this season, think about how God is present to us and with us in the ordinariness of our own lives. Because not only did God create the ordinary, in Christ, God became ordinary. And now, through the Holy Spirit, God is forever with us in the ordinary. And how lovely that just as ordinary time is beginning, this season that is intended for our growth and discipleship, as we follow the teachings and ministry of Christ, that we have the opportunity to think about Sabbath and honestly reflect on our own Sabbath practices. Anna, we don't mind his crying. You are welcome to stay. We set a date for Trevor's baptism this week. It's going to be August 4th, and I can't wait. So we have this opportunity to think about Sabbath and honestly reflect on our own Sabbath practices. In today's gospel lesson, those religious leaders who were seeking to trap Jesus as they began to plot against him, angrily asked him about the ways that his disciples were behaving on the Sabbath. And what ends up happening is that Jesus reminds them, and today as we read it, teaches us the true purpose of Sabbath. So if we were to ask most people, what is Sabbath? Most folks would say that it is a day off. Now, don't get me wrong, I do love a day off, but the Sabbath is so much more than a day off. And I can't stress this enough, but the Sabbath is not It is absolutely not a reward for hard work. Sabbath is a gift from God, a gift that we do not have to earn, a gift that we are invited to receive. So Sabbath is a ceasing from the rhythms of work and the world, but its purpose isn't simply a leisurely day either. And its purpose is not to rest on the Sabbath so that we can be more productive the rest of the week. That's it, not it at all. Jesus teaches us and reminds us that the true purpose of Sabbath is a reminder that we belong to God. Week in and week out, on a regular and consistent basis, by keeping Sabbath, we are called to remember that we belong to God. And when we do that, we also acknowledge that our first and our primary and our most important identity is as a child of God. In a world and culture that prizes productivity and being addicted to work, in a world and culture that tells us we don't have enough money or we don't have enough stuff, the Sabbath calls us to resist the idol of productivity, to resist the lies of scarcity, that enough is never enough, and that we always need bigger and better to be satisfied. The Sabbath calls us to resist those things. And let's take a deep breath, because this is where it gets a little bit hard, right? The Word of God holds up a mirror in front of us so that we can honestly see ourselves and take an honest look at how we are living and if we are living in a way that God intends. The Sabbath that God gives us calls us to resist the temptation to let anything or anyone claim us other than God. This means that work and money do not define us. We are not primarily laborers and consumers, because the truth is that God has already named us and claimed us in the waters of baptism. And our primary identity is that of child of God. And in those same waters, we have been freed by God's mercy and grace to be different and to do different than the world around us. God's intention for Sabbath is for us to keep it holy, which also means to set it apart. And the purpose of that is to always be pointing us toward God. It is important to remind ourselves and to reorient ourselves weekly to the truth that we belong to God. Not our labor, not the money we make for doing our labor. In the Sabbath, one day a week, we are called to rest from striving, to acknowledge that God is God and we are not, and the world will not stop turning if we keep Sabbath one day each week. We are called to trust God's provision and care, and trust that it will not stop if we Sabbath for one day a week. One of my favorite theologians, Norman Wiersbe, says this: "Our Sabbath commitment bears witness to whether or not we have brought our habits and priorities in line with the ways and intentions of God." Our Sabbath commitment bears witness to whether or not we have brought our habits and priorities in line with the ways and intentions of God. So we ask ourselves, do we fear and love and trust God above all things? All things. Or do we love and trust our work more than God? Do we trust our productivity more than God? Do we love and trust ourselves more than God? Do we love and trust our money and our stuff above God? God's mirror, God's word holds up a mirror for us as Jesus reminds us of what God's intention for the Sabbath is. The Sabbath gives us an opportunity to honestly reflect and answer the question, do we fear and love and trust God above all things? And the Sabbath is a measurement and a metric for that. Sisters and brothers, I know keeping the Sabbath isn't easy. I struggle with working too much and relying too much on productivity. It's not easy. But God doesn't call us to ease. God calls us to faithfulness. Faithfulness in big things and faithfulness in ordinary things. Those everyday life things. My hope and prayer for all of us during this season of ordinary time is that we continue to grow in faith and discipleship in ways that honor God, in ways that remind us that we belong to God and God alone, and in ways that remind us that our lives are meant for God. When you come to take communion today, may the bread and wine that we receive give us the grace and strength to resist the idols of productivity and busyness. And may that bread and wine give us the grace and strength to resist the temptation to let anything or anyone define us other than God. And when you come forward to get the bread and the wine today, dip your finger in the font and make the sign of the cross on your forehead, reminding yourself that God has adopted you in these waters, that you are named and claimed by God. Remind yourself who you are and whose you are. Amen.